Well, welcome everybody this morning to this lovely place where we can just gather in Jesus' name. And so this morning we're just going to do some songs and a reflection and just give thanks to God. And Alistair's going to speak later, which we'll look forward to that later on. So we'll just come before God now in prayer. So, Lord, we just welcome you this morning into this atmosphere. Lord, we just long, Lord, for you to draw close to each one of us. Lord, we are, Lord, waiting and willing. And, Lord, we just want to receive from you, Lord. So, Lord, everything, Lord, that happens this morning, we just pray that we will just find something fresh and new that will wake our soul. And so, Lord, we just invite you this morning to just come amongst us, and may we feel your presence once again in this school, in this place, because you are here. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So we're just going to sing our first song. We haven't done this for a while, so I'm sure that you will remember it when we sing it. So by faith we see the hand of God.
Spirit.
Just want to bring a reflection this morning, and in Ephesians 4:15 it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. The verse appears in the context of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, and is part of a list of things that will happen when the risen Christ equips the saints for ministry. The phrase, speak in love, truth and love, means to speak what is doctrinally correct and biblically committed, whilst also being motivated by love. It can also mean that sometimes it is better to remain silent than to speak. And in 1 Corinthians 13:6, it says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And I just want to share a few verses from one of my dad's many songs that he wrote. And it's Jesus, your perfect love has set me wholly free. In confidence my life I live, as you abide in me. Jesus, your perfect love has banished self and pride. No longer is it I that live, as I in you abide. Jesus, your perfect love is by the Spirit given, from God the Father's heart of love to sinners now forgiven. Jesus, your perfect love, I pray to me impart, as with one your mind I humbly now open to you my heart. Lord, we just thank you this morning for your perfect love that casts out all fear, and that, Lord, we don't have to be ashamed, or, Lord, because your love just dwells in each one of us. And so I just thank you, Lord, this morning that we can just experience that love with one another. Because, Lord, your command says, love one another as I have loved you. So we thank you, Lord, that we can just gather this morning in your perfect love. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're just going to sing three songs. So in the first song, we'll take the collection, if that's okay. And the first one is, your love is amazing, overwhelmed by love. This is Amazing Grace. Thank you. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just bring these offerings to you this morning, and we just thank you, Lord, that we can do this, that we are able, and that, Lord, we can serve you in this way. And, Lord, we know that these monies, Lord, that we've raised, Lord, will go to our church and, Lord, for what our church fellowship needs are. And we just thank you, Lord, for this church, that we can support it, Lord, in this way. And we thank you, Lord, for the children we sponsor. And we thank you for, Lord, these monies now. And we just pray for each one, Lord. You know them all. And, Lord, you know how they're doing, Lord, and how much this money means to each one of them and their families, Lord. So we just thank you that, Lord, you enable us each day, Lord, to do this, Lord, because we have so much, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And, Lord, we just pray now for the children and for Howard as he comes, Lord, to show them something, Lord, of you. Amen.
Right, last weekend we took a party of the Urban Saints over to North Wales for a weekend away. And we had a fabulous time, and we do thank the church for your prayer support and for your generosity. But one of the things we did on Friday night was a late night walk. We always call it a midnight hike because that's got a certain buzz to it, but I can actually tell you that we were back by about 11, but they didn't know that. The thing about North Wales, and particularly Kaikannal, is there is no ground light. When you go outside in the dark, it is really dark. And we did have a wow moment looking up at the stars and just seeing all of creation spread out above us. But could we see where we were going? Not a chance. So we needed torches and we needed a light to see where we were going. And to find your way, it's really important in life to follow God's way and to follow God's word. And one of the things you can use on a mountain is a compass. And that helps you to navigate. Now, I need two volunteers by the name of Sophelia and Eleanor, if you'd be kind enough to come out. Would you come and have a look at my compass with me?
Now, have you ever used your compass? No. Right, so you hold the compass. And if you want to face that way, what you need to do is you rotate this until the M lines up with the red of the compass needle. Okay, that's good. And then if I read the map and I tell you I want you to proceed in a bearing of 40 degrees, which way are you going to go? You've always got to keep the N and the red like that. Okay, point straight ahead. It looks like Alistair is the way. Okay? So if you want to start proceeding very slowly, and then life's little distractions can come along. You've got to keep following the stop, you're off course. Now we're going to go. Oh dear. It's all shiny a bit then. Oh. Right. Set it up again. You're being driven off course by things going wrong in life. Where's 40? 40. Now where's 40? Oh dear. So turn round. We think we're going the right way. Oh no, we don't know where to go, do we? Do you know what's going wrong? Why is this compass going wrong? Because of the magnets. Right. You ought to banish the magnets and tell me to go to the front of the church out of your way. Now would you like to complete your walk? Setting it up at 40 degrees and see if you can get safely to Alistair. Thank you very much. So it's really important that we're aware of the things in our lives that are influencing us, and it's really important to make sure that we're following God's way and not the world's way. Thanks very much, girls.
We just pray, Lord, this morning that, Lord, you will show the girls, Lord, what you want to show them, and that, Lord, they will just rejoice in you each day. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. So I don't know whether they're going or... I'm just going to come now for a time of prayer and intercession. And so I shall start off. And we'll just come before God. Oh Lord, hear my prayer. Oh Lord, hear my prayer. When So, Lord, we just come before you this morning and, Lord, just worship you and adore you. Lord, we thank you for who you are, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-caring God. And so, Lord, we just bring our situations before you. And, Lord, we just lay them at your feet, at the cross. And, Lord, we know that you will, in your own time, Lord, deal with them, take them away. And, Lord, we just rejoice, Lord, that we can, Lord, just do that time and time again. When we call, you answer. You answer our prayers. And so, Lord, I just thank you for answered prayers. I thank you for Kai Cannell, Urban Saints Weekend, Lord, with 9 youngsters. And, Lord, just hearing a real challenge for their Christian life. And we thank you also for the good weather that held out. And Lord, I just thank you for that weekend and the ones that went to help, Lord, and the speaker, Pam. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that those little ones, Lord, will have felt something of you, Lord, at that weekend. And so we just thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we just pray now, Lord, this morning for George, Lord Bayliss, and Kay. And Lord, we just bring them before you. And Lord, I just pray into that situation, Lord, that has just been going on long, so long, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for, Lord, a space for George, Lord, a bed at Elmhurst Care Centre at Winsford. And especially for Kay, as she supports him in the ways that she can. So we just pray, Lord, now. If we all want to pray just silently for a few seconds for George. And I pray for Marna too, Lord, as she has a 3-monthly MRI scan at Christie's Thursday following her cancer treatment. I just thank you, Lord, how she loves you so much, and you've blessed her over these months, Lord, that she's been going there, and your protection over her. And Lord, I just I pray for all our family here, Lord, and in this church, and Lord, you know who they are, and Lord, you know their needs, and you know how they're feeling, and you know who wants healing. And who are awaiting pending hospital appointments. And Lord, I just pray for each one, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you will be mighty close to them, that you will, Lord, enrich them in your life and their journey with you, that, Lord, you are there and that all things are possible, and that, Lord, we just need to lean on you. Amen. And now I do feel, Lord, I just pray for Spain and the floods, Lord, and the death toll last time was 205. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will be in that situation with them terrible floods and the families, Lord, that once again have, Lord, lost to some of their family. And Lord, we also pray for our world and Gaza and Lebanon, Iran, Sudan and Ukraine. Lord, we just pray that the wars and the fighting will cease, and hearts will be turned to you, our Maker and Creator God, and that there will be peace in our land. And we just pray now, Lord, as we bring our prayers to you. If anybody wants to thank Jesus in just a one word or two words, then please, please do, because we have a great God who is able. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for 2 new correspondents for our Compassion Children, for Laura and Emma. We give you thanks and praise that there are younger folk now who want to be involved in Compassion Ministry, and we praise you and bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Shoeboxes, Lord, and we pray that each shoebox goes to the recipient that you intend, and that it some joy, and they know that they are blessed and loved by you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, you go before us through the many changes of this world. As each new day dawns, may we truly abide in you and know your abiding in us. May we grow and flourish, rooted at all times in the one true vine, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. So I'm just going to read now. Alistair's going to come to us in a minute to speak on. And so it's at 2 John 1-6. The elder, to the lady chosen by God and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I just pray for Alistair now as he comes. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Alistair. We thank you for his ministry that he faithfully brings, Lord, to us each week. We thank you how it blesses us, touches our hearts. And we pray now, Lord, that we will have open ears to hear what you have put on Alistair's heart this morning. So in Jesus' precious name, we just ask that you will just be with Alistair now as he comes to share. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much indeed to Steph for leading us. Letters. We do not send them or receive them like we used to, do we? We have still got some people who write to us using an old-fashioned pen and pieces of writing paper, but nothing like we used to. And of course, with the price of a first-class stamp, now going up to £1.65 as of last month, maybe we'll get even less people writing to us. This morning I want us to begin a new series, just a short series, looking at a good old-fashioned letter. It's one of the shortest letters in the New Testament, less than 300 words in Greek, and probably written on a single sheet of papyrus. And it is the letter of 2 John. So, who wrote the letter? Verse 1 simply says the elder. So, who is the elder, I hear you ask? Well, many Bible commentators think that the elder was a title given by people in the early church to the Apostle John, this elderly Christian, the son of Zebedee, brother of James, the disciple whom Jesus loved. So the elder is probably the Apostle John. Who is the letter written to? To the lady chosen by God and to her children whom I love in the truth. So who is the lady chosen by God and her children? I also hear you ask. As you can imagine, pages have also been written about this. But many Bible commentators think that the lady and her children is a way of referring to a local church. So the lady is the church, and the children are the people who make up the church. Now, anticipating your next question, why does John refer to a church as a lady and her children? Well, we can't be sure, but it may be because at the time Christians were facing harassment, they were facing opposition, they were facing persecution from the Roman authorities. So if the letter falls into the wrong hands, the greeting makes it look like just a harmless letter written to a friend. So the letter's probably written by John to a local church and its members, maybe in somewhere like Ephesus. Now, why did John write this letter to this church? Well, think about travel, because the answer, in a sense, hinges around travel. Now, travel in the 21st century is pretty straightforward, isn't it? So, there we go. If I want to pop down and see my mum and dad just outside Worthing, it's M6 to Birmingham, M42 round Birmingham, M40 to London, M25 anti-clockwise round London, A24 towards Worthing, A280 branching across to Goring by Sea. So just over 4 hours, avoiding the M6 toll and not getting held up and not stopping. So 229 miles. Travel in the first century is not quite that straightforward, but it's a lot easier and safer than it used to be. The Roman Empire has made travel a lot easier and safer than it used to be, and you can probably think of some reasons. So first of all, you've got the Roman peace, the Pax Romana. Before Caesar Augustus, remember Caesar Augustus? You can find him in the Christmas story. So before Caesar Augustus, there is civil war throughout the Roman Empire. There are warring factions on the land. There are robbers on all the major roads. And there are pirates on the sea. Caesar Augustus has brought relative peace and stability to the Roman Empire. So that's going to really help travel. Not only that, there was the Roman roads. The Roman roads. You have heard the expression, all roads lead to... Thank you. And in the first century, that is literally true. Because this magnificent system of roads that are built and maintained by Roman legions link all areas of the Roman Empire. Really good for travel. There's also the common language. And the language that links the Roman Empire is Greek. Now, put those three things together. What have you got? You have got the Roman peace. You have got the Roman roads. You've got the common language. Can you see how that is really going to help the spread of the good news of the gospel? Because it means that in the first century, Christians can go everywhere sharing this wonderful good news of our risen Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Travel's so much easier. But there's another question. When you are travelling throughout the Roman Empire, where should you stay? So if it's us, we go on booking.com, We book a travel lodge, we book a Premier Inn or something like that, don't we? In the first century, you will not want to stay at one of the first century inns. They are notoriously dirty. They are infested with fleas. Just makes you itch already, doesn't it? You've got to hear the word fleas, it makes you itch. There are all sorts of extracurricular activities going on in some of the rooms, which I won't expand on. Innkeepers had a terrible reputation. They were dishonest. They were greedy. They were unpleasant. So it all makes Basil 40 and 40 Towers look like the Ritz, doesn't it? So it's natural that if you are a Christian on your travels, you will be given hospitality by members of local churches. So you may remember that's Paul's experience, isn't it? I mean, he's hosted by Lydia at Philippi, Jason in Thessalonica, Gaius in Corinth, Philip in Caesarea. So, if you're a Christian, you get hospitality from folks in the local churches. But of course, there's another question, isn't there? Because hospitality is always open to abuse. So what about those false teachers who pose as Christians? The ones who claim to bring a very different experience, some new insights, some different teaching. The ones who preach a very different gospel to the gospel of the apostles. Should hospitality be extended to them? What about the false prophets with their false credentials? The ones who are in it for the money. The ones who are motivated by greed rather than creed. The ones who will always bring you a message from the Lord for a price, of course. Should hospitality be extended to them? Well, John is going to answer that question both in this letter and later on in his third letter as well. And what John is going to say, in essence, is this. Genuine Christian missionaries can be recognised by the message they bring and by the motives that inspire them. So if these folks preach Christ and the glorious good news of the gospel, if they come in his name for his glory, honour and praise, if they show a sacrificial love for other people, then they are to be welcomed warmly, entertained hospitably, and sent on their way in a way that honours the Lord. But if they bring a message that denies the glorious truths about Jesus, especially in this context, his incarnation, which will be spoken about later, but his deity and humanity, his atonement, his redemption, his revelation, his resurrection, his return, then they are not to be warmly welcomed, and they're not to be invited to preach in the church. So in their relationships with all these travelling preachers, both genuine Christians and counterfeit charlatans, two things are really important and they must be held together. And that is truth and that is love. They've got to be held together. If you don't, you will soon find yourself a bit like that magnet with a compass wandering all over the place. Truth and love together. So look again at how John begins his letter. The elder, John the Apostle, to the lady chosen by God, the church, and to her children, whom I love in the truth. It's interesting already, isn't it? Who I love in the truth. Maybe this is a sideways glance at the false teachers, who not only compromise the truth, but they certainly don't love the people. Maybe it's a sideways glance at the false teachers. And why does John and everybody else love the people in this church? Well, verse 2. Because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. So the reason we love one another is not just that we are naturally drawn to one another, or we are temporarily compatible, or we just click. The reason we love one another is because of the truth we share, especially the truth about Christ that lives in us for all eternity. So what we're saying is Christian love is founded on Christian truth. Christian love founded on Christian truth. And you need both together. Trouble is, there's always a danger of getting them out of balance, isn't there? So for some people, it's all about love. And of course, tragically, love has often been used to justify so many things, hasn't it? Domestic abuse. If you love me, you will obey me. Wives, submit to your husbands. Not only abusing women, abusing God's word as well. The affair. It just happened. We love each other. We also pray and read the Bible together. Acceptance. Love means that you should accept everyone. Always wanting to ask what exactly I am accepting at this point. Love says you should accept everyone. But what does John say? Actually, he says love one another, but don't welcome or offer hospitality to false preachers, false prophets. Perhaps we can think about it in other ways as well. Incidentally, the false teachers, the false prophets, were people who were called deceivers later on in the letter. They deny the incarnation, another of the glorious truths of Jesus. John will refer them to them as deceivers. Love one another, but don't welcome deceivers, false prophets, false teachers. Don't offer them hospitality. Perhaps we can also broaden it and think about it in other ways as well. The hashtag love is love is very, very popular these days. Hashtag love is love. It means love has no limits. Love who you want to. You cannot find your identity. You cannot be yourself. You cannot fulfill your destiny. You cannot fulfill your desires until you're free from all limitations. We don't need the sexual ethics of the Bible. More pride, less prejudice. Love is love. I was reading about a pastor, and he was saying that he had a gay man who started coming to his church, and he was living with another guy. And after a little while, the gay man came to faith in Christ. And the pastor was thinking or wondering whether he's going to have a difficult conversation with the man about his love life. But after a little while, the gay man came up to the pastor and said to him, I've been meaning to tell you, I've moved out with my boyfriend. We've split up. I've left. And he was sort of saying this. It was as if the Holy Spirit had been at work on my moral taste buds. And what he meant by that was that he'd heard what God's word had said. And for him, he had come to the conclusion that whatever I may feel, whatever my desires are, homosexual practice is wrong. And so he'd moved out. I said to you before that, as far as I can see, every time homosexual and lesbian practices are mentioned in the Bible, they're always condemned. And it's often in really quite strong language. And again, as far as I can see, same-sex relationships, same-sex marriages are never explicitly affirmed in the Bible, which I think is also really important. And as far as I can see, again, the one approved context for sex is a loving framework of a married male-female partnership. Now, I appreciate these days, maybe I'm going into an increasing minority, and I do appreciate so much that there are Christian leaders, there are many Christians who look at things and come to completely the opposite conclusions. I'm not convinced by their arguments, I think, in all honesty. I'm not convinced by their biblical arguments. And I think what I would also say is just how much I sympathise with those folks for whom this is a real live issue. And your heart goes out to folks, doesn't it, who are really, really struggling in this area and for whom it is a live issue and they face all sorts of awful things, and your heart goes out to them. But again, I think what I'd also say is that whatever popular culture tells you, actually you can be single and you can be celibate and you can, in a relationship with Christ and with wonderful relationships with lots of other people, find fulfillment and joy and satisfaction. Popular culture will not tell you that, but it is possible to be single and celibate and know joy in a relationship with Christ and with other people. For some people, it's all about love. But there is another side as well, isn't there? For some people, it's all about truth. Now, of course, there are those who want to get rid of truth altogether. So, the Ten Commandments. We do not need the Ten Commandments. They are old-fashioned. They are restrictive. They are stifling. Truth is, what is true for me? That's what really matters. It's my truth. You do you. It's my truth. My truth is what matters. And I wonder if we could say perhaps one or two things in response. I think, first of all, the commandments have something to say to us about love. Because when you stop and think about it, all these commandments are ways of helping us love each other better. Honour your father and mother. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not covet. The discernment of love. The gentleness of love. The honesty of love. The sacrifice of love. All these commandments are ways of helping us love each other better. They also have something to say to us about life. I think my experience is that when God tells us to say no to something, he's telling us to say yes to something better. Love one another better by saying no to this, or by saying yes to this. Something to say to us about life. They also have something to say to us about discipleship. I was reading about a gentleman from Japan, and he'd come to faith in Christ. But all his life, he'd been a thief. So stealing was all he'd ever known. That's what he'd lived for. That was his life. Nicking things, stealing, being a thief. Comes to faith in Christ, and he starts going to church. And on the front of the church, roughly where the screen is, there's a plaque. And guess what's on the plaque? The Ten Commandments. And he's sitting there, and he's reading it, and he says sees the commandment that says, you shall not steal. And now he says, I'm really struggling. All my life I've been a thief. Stealing is all I've ever done. But then he reads it in a different way. He reads it as a promise. You shall not steal. And of course, he's reading the Old Testament correctly, because in Christ, it becomes a promise. Because your heart is changing. Because you love God's ways. Because you don't want to let him down. You don't want to fail him. You don't want to displease him. You don't want to sin. Read it as a promise. thinking about truth in a different way. There are times when the truth is presented in a way that is quite harsh and quite unkind. We are told we need to give more. We need to pray more. We need to read our Bibles more. We need to love more. We need to serve more. We need to volunteer more. And if you can think of anything else, we need to do that more as well. That's how it is, isn't it? Sometimes we come across as being quite harsh in the way that we present it. And you think about yourself and you end up giving yourself a mark of 2 out of 10 for your rubbish discipleship, thinking that you are not a particularly good Christian, feeling guilty, pretty useless in the grand scheme of things. Equally, there are times, I think, when some of the great doctrines of the Christian faith, and I think of things like salvation through faith in Christ alone, Christ is the only way of salvation, heaven and hell, same-sex relationships, sexual ethics. Sometimes they are presented in a way that is anything but gracious and loving and kind. I suspect I've told you before that, as far as I'm aware, there's just one place in the New Testament where Jesus tells us about his own heart. Only one place, I think, in the New Testament where Jesus talks about his heart. You might be able to think where it is. It's these wonderful verses from Matthew 11, which we know so well. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So the one who is the way, the truth, and the life is also gentle and humble. So gentle means that Jesus is not trigger happy. He's not harsh. He's not mean. He's not reactionary. Humble means that he is approachable. Despite his dazzling holiness, despite his glory, no one has ever been more approachable than Jesus. More forgiving, more gracious, more loving, more wise. Gentle and humble. Gentleness, humility, truth and love. Well, John concludes by saying this, or this section: grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. There we are again. So grace, of course, is God's provision for us in Jesus Christ. Mercy is our need of salvation through Jesus Christ. And peace is the character of salvation in Jesus Christ. And they all come to us in truth and love. Now, that may mean that we receive grace, mercy and peace from Father and Son if we remain in truth and love. Or it may mean that grace, mercy and peace come to us from the Father in truth and love. So truth and love may be the conditions, if you like, of us receiving grace, mercy and peace, and may be the consequences of grace, mercy and peace. But whatever may be the case, truth and love are clearly essential marks of the Christian life. So the fellowship of the Christian church is created by truth and founded on love. Created in truth or demonstrated in love. And both must be in harmony. Love is not to be so blind, is it, that it ignores the beliefs and the conduct of others. Truth should make love discriminating. Love is soft if it's not strengthened by truth And of course, truth is hard if it's not softened by love. And what does John command us to do here? He says, love each other in the truth and hold to the truth in love. Truth and love together. Let's pray together. Father, first of all, we are so grateful that we are in the presence of one who is gentle and humble in heart. And we thank you so much for the gentleness of our Saviour. Thank you that he is not trigger happy or harsh or mean or reactionary. Thank you that his natural posture is not the pointed finger, but the open arms. And thank you too, for he is humble, always so approachable, despite that dazzling holiness, that unimaginable glory, so approachable, so forgiving, so gracious, so loving. Thank you for gentleness and humility. Thank you for truth and love. And for us too, Father, thank you that the fellowship we enjoy with one another is created by truth and demonstrated in love. And may you help us always to hold those two in harmony. May we love one another in the truth and hold to the truth in love. And in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we are going to sing one further song as we close. And we're going to sing together, "There is a truth older than the ages. There's a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, who is Jesus." And let's pray together. So as we take our worship, our praise, our prayer from this place and into a new week, may our lives be sustained by the love of our Heavenly Father. May we feel the presence of our Saviour walking beside us. And may we know the power of your Spirit in both actions and words. And may we love each other in the truth and hold to the truth in love. In the name of Jesus. Amen.